Hey, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on out there today?
Yeah. Man, last night.
Fuck. I knew you were going to start with that. Poor Tom.
We'll talk about it later.
Well, yeah, I told him, I said, you know, it's like we haven't watched a movie. Like I said, we did watch the Guar documentary, so we could probably talk about that. But it's like, we'll probably, this is probably going to be like a matinee sidetracks hybrid, I'm thinking, because then we can talk about other shit. Although I kind of feel like all of our matinee shows are matinee like sidetracks hybrid, but at least I'm being honest about it this time.
You saw that new Guar documentary. It's pretty good.
It's on Shudder, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Shudder.
I think it came out at Fantastic Fest, like, for like last year, like, at the thing, but I don't know where else you can get it. I don't know if it's like, it says Shudder exclusive on it, so I imagine that it's only on Shudder for a limited time, and then it'll go to other streaming services. But this was a surprisingly, I'm not like, I like Guar, but I'm not like a massive like Guar fan or anything. Like I saw them like a bunch of times, like back in the day, like back in the 90s.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's not, well, the thing about Guar is that it's not so much their music. Like some of their music is good, but it's like, it's mostly just for the show and like the experience. Yeah. So we used to, me and my brother and like some of our other friends, we used to go all the time. So I saw him a bunch of times, but like I said, I'm not a super fan. But even though this documentary, it's like, it's long. It's like 2.5 hours or something like that. But it was never boring. I was like, I thought it was like really, really interesting. I just really, really liked all of the, I mean, it's mostly like interviews with the founders of it and like, you know, members old and new, and like they're just kind of talked about like their roots and where they came from, and so it's kind of less about their music and more about like the personalities behind it. And like I said, it was actually like as it got toward the end, because I think I mentioned this on the Friday Sidetrack show, but you know, a couple of the members died. One of them got shot, he survived, but you know, talk about that a little bit. But you know, it's, so it was almost kind of like touching and like sad at the end. And now that like some of the members are getting older, like are in their 50s and stuff, you know, it's like one of them got cancer, and like, so it was kind of getting sad toward the end, but
they're,
I don't
dying
know.
Off.
Not, well, yeah. Well, and the thing about it is that the ones that died, like Dave Brocky, who was actually like one of the two guys that founded it, he died, well, he was 50, I think. That was back in 2014. And he died of a heroin overdose.
Yeah.
And then the other guy that died, what was his name? Corey something. He was like one that had joined like later. And he just died. I can't even remember what he died of. He just died like on the tour bus. Like he died in his sleep. And he was pretty young too, I think. But I don't remember. I think
drugs was implied.
Probably.
On all that shit.
Probably. Yeah. But one of the guys, when they were out on tour and they were all in a car, like they got essentially like carjacked.
Yeah.
And one of them got shot.
Yeah.
And they thought he was gonna die. Like he got, it was bad, and he was like bleeding and shit. And then like the cops came and they got him to the hospital, and he lived thankfully, and he's like okay now. But he said that for a long time when they were touring, he had to wear a colostomy bag because they had to take a bunch of his colon out.
Yeah.
Like, I guess he didn't have to wear it, like, permanently. Yeah. But I was like, you would think, it being Guar, that they would use the colostomy bag, like, in the act. But at least they didn't want to go that far. They didn't want to go, like,
hazard.
They didn't want to go, like, Gigi Allen lengths. Because they're like, we'll just keep with the fake blood and semen and stuff. We don't want, like, real shit and, like, somebody getting fucking diseases and all that other kind of crap.
Yeah.
But I
recommend it. It's an entertaining watch. I didn't know much about Guar. When I was in Detroit, right after I graduated from high school, fucking went back to Michigan to go hang out with my friends and fucking ended up in Detroit. But I saw some black and white Rapidograph posters of them around town. Like they were going to play. And it was just these fucking crazy dudes in fucking weird barbarian costumes. That must have been about 88, 87, 88.
Yeah, because I think that was right around when they first, I mean, I think it was like mid to late 80s that they were first kind of starting out.
Yeah.
And like they go into that, and I actually didn't know a lot about their origins, I guess. So that was actually really, really interesting. It was just kind of like all these art school kids.
They were musicians, but they were mostly art school kids. That's what they were mostly.
Yeah, they were all into like comics and lowbrow art and stuff like that at a time when it wasn't really that cool to be into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they were actually from Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
And they said that there was this old abandoned factory in Richmond that was called, it was the dairy, right? Like it used to be a dairy bottling plant or something. And they said it was abandoned and like all of these artists and hippies and shit like that, like started squatting there. And so they said that was kind of the place that all the musicians and artists and stuff, they all had their like performance space and practice space and everything. You weren't technically legally supposed to be living there, but like everybody sort of did. So that's kind of like where the origin of Gwar was, because you had the one guy that had the band Death Piggy, which was kind of like a punk band, and then the other guy who was making like a sci-fi film and building all these weird costumes, like about like these intergalactic warriors and stuff.
No,
and
they were barbarians.
Yeah, like barbarians. And
alien
then,
barbarians.
Yeah, and so they decided, hey, why don't we like collaborate?
Yeah.
Well, I think the initial thing was that Death Piggy was going to play a gig locally, and they said, wouldn't it be funny if we dressed up in these barbarian costumes and opened for ourselves?
Yeah.
Like, so, and they just, so they just made up a bullshit band.
Yeah, it's called Gwar.
Well, yeah, well, actually it was called Gwar. It was with all these other letters at the end. And then they said, so they did that a couple of times, and then they noticed that everybody was coming to see that band instead of Death Piggy, like to see their costumes and stuff and all the crazy shit they would do. So they said, well, let's just make that like a real band.
Yeah, make that our band.
They said, let's make that our band. So yeah, and like obviously as time went on, like they got better.
Yeah.
Costumes, like they actually got like dudes that were like professionals. What was, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what was cool though is that they had some old footage of what they were like in the early days and how when they didn't hardly have any money. Well, they never really had much money. All right. They lived off of very little. They spent everything on fucking costumes and artwork that they were making for the shit. And it showed kind of how advanced it was even in the late 80s when they were new. Like, they were having a damn concert outside, and they had a fucking huge 747 jet engine on a wire come from one from the top of one building down behind the stage, and it would crash on the ground. And it was just, it was made out of paper mache, but it looked cool. It looked like a jet engine. And that was how the show ended, as a fucking change. Fuck, it hits the ground, you know.
And this was pre-Donnie Darko.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, fucking, they're just talking about destroying America, and they're alien barbarians, the scum dogs of the universe, and just, you know, kind of a cool concept.
And they got in trouble a lot, too, obviously, because of their stage shows. I mean, they would decapitate people, like, in real, but, and I think what they got in trouble for...
They didn't decapitate real people.
No. Like fake people, obviously. Yeah. Like, obviously fake people. Yeah. They were, like, big paper mache people. I think what they got in trouble, because one of them got arrested in, wasn't it, North Carolina, right? I think it was North Carolina. Somewhere in the South. They got arrested. It was either because... Was it because they were doing that, where they had like the priest that they were like sticking the
a priest being raped by some demons,
a crucifix or something, right, like sticking it up his butt?
Yeah,
like, but it was a big, huge, like fake butt.
It's a fake butt. It's a dude with a fake butt. It was an awesome costume.
It was actually. It was quite.
He wasn't just a priest. I think he was like a demon priest who had been
a or something. Like, yeah, they had something. A whole story behind
it. Yeah, so everybody gets punished. Whoever's unpopular at the time, you know, they were, because it was kind of just current events. Then they would do it. Well, the cops saw that and arrested them, but it was thrown out of court. The fucking court was like, "What? No." I don't think anything happened.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they. Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. I don't remember if it was the crucifix in the butt, or was it. Remember how he used to wear the cuttlefish of Cthulhu,
which is a dick,
but it's actually like a fish. Right. And then it just like sprayed something that looked like semen, but it's not really semen, obviously, but it's like out of its mouth. Yeah. And so I thought maybe they got in trouble for that because it was like obscenity. But then the funny thing about that was like when they had to go to trial, they said the presiding judge's name was Dick Boner.
Yeah,
and they're like,
yeah.
Does anybody see the irony of that? Yeah. That, like, you guys got upset about... It's like, they're like, it's not even a dick, it's a fish. It's like an alien fish that, like, sprays, and but you know, North Carolina.
They didn't get much trouble, though, I don't think.
No, I don't think they... I don't think they went to jail or anything. No. But I think they did actually have to go to trial for that.
They were just harassing them, trying to get them to stop that shit. And that was back when people cared, I guess. Nobody would give a shit today. That you
probably not. Like I said, everybody would be like, yawn. Yeah, but
they would just laugh.
Well, I mean, but back in the late 80s and early 90s, it was like kind of a big deal. I mean, they were like, would go around on all the talk shows, and everyone was like talking about it. And
it's a moral panic going on.
It was.
The satanic panic.
Yeah, like, because the satanic panic was still going on, like, in the 90s. I don't know if you guys remember. But so there was that whole thing. And I think the thing about Gwar, and like I said, it's I don't even think nowadays there aren't any original members, because one of them died and like one of them left, and he was on there like talking and stuff, but they kind of like would rotate people out, like, as people left. It was not so much a band as just like a big art collective, you know what I mean? They would just kind of like bring in artists or other musicians, and you would kind of either come up with your own character, or you could take over like one of the other characters. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, we need a new Balzac, the Jaws of Death, and we need a new Beefcake, the Mighty, or whatever. And, like, you could come in and do that, or you could, like, come up with your own. And then you had to have, like, a whole backstory, because their mythology is, like, really, really complicated. They have, like, this whole... But that was, like, their whole deal, and I think that was the thing that struck me the most about how cool this documentary was, is that these were just a bunch of guys, and a handful of women, too, that... This was just all they wanted to do. They just wanted to build these crazy costumes and make comic books and do all these art installations and do all these crazy shows and come up with all this wacky shit. And they did it for like, they've done, it's almost like 40 years that band's been going now.
Yeah.
And they just, they're so into it. And honestly, in the 90s, I think they kind of got real famous. They were underground famous. Like, I had seen them, like I said, a few times in the late 80s. But I kind of feel like they got more mainstream famous in the 90s because they were on a bunch of talk shows, and, like, because they were on Beavis and Butthead, because they were, like, Beavis and Butthead's favorite band, and they were in the Beavis and Butthead video game and all this other kind of stuff. So that kind of, like, brought them to a much wider audience. And so they, and because there was so much controversy about them, it was like, oh, my God, I got to see this shit. And I think they were in that movie Mystery Date, too. So, you know, and they, so they were kind of known as that. So, but I kind of feel like what happened after that was that because they got such a big audience around then, a major record label, I think it was Warner Brothers, like, wanted to sign them because they were on Metal Blade at that time.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers wanted to sign them, but the album that they had, I mean, the lyrics were just, like, so raunchy. I think what Warner Brothers objected to was one of the songs was called Baby Dick Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And Warner Brothers was like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like, if, they're like, we'll put the album out if you take that song off.
Yeah.
And they said no.
Yeah.
And actually, Metal Blade stuck up for him and said, yeah, we're not taking that song off.
Yeah.
So Warner Brothers was like, bye.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they never got rich off of it. But like I said, you could tell just from the interview, because they interviewed a fuck ton of people that were in Gwar at some point or another, and they were just all really into this. I mean, they were just having the fucking best time.
Yeah, I think you know, dressing up in these costumes and having these alter egos on stage is really just the main motivation for them being in the band. They didn't make any money.
No, not really. No.
And they would fuck. That one dude said he had the most money he'd ever had in his whole life when he left Gwar and fucking got a job. And then I think he went back to it eventually, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people did. Like, they would leave for a time and then, like, come back. Because, like I said, it was always kind of like a rotating, more like an art collective.
Yeah.
So, like, if you had to go do something, like, somebody else could take over your character, or a new character would come in. You
couldn't see him in that costume.
It didn't really matter. So they would just kind of, like, write around, like, the mythology. Because, like I said, they have a really complicated mythology. I think they actually stuck with, for a long time, all of their songs having to do with their sort of overarching mythology of them being, like you said, intergalactic sort of, you know, the aliens that were, like, coming here to, like, destroy Earth or whatever.
They lost some of their fan base, too, because they stopped, they did a period where they went away from rock and started to do other kind of stuff.
Well, it started getting a little bit.
Movies and with characters and, like,
Sleazy P. Martini. Yeah. Although I do like that character.
Yeah, that's a good character. He's supposed to be the manager, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that big, huge fucking hand.
Yeah, yeah. That's should like, have his
that's
around.
Fucking great.
But there was egomaniacs in there, you know what I mean? They thought there were too many characters stealing the limelight, and there was all kinds. They were fighting all the time.
Yeah, particularly like the two guys that founded it, and yeah, I think fighting. For a time too, because when they started out like pretty much as a thrash metal band. And then
punk rock too.
And punk rock too. Yeah. But like I said, it started out as a punk band, and then they just like went. But they started going a little metal, and then it started getting like goofier and goofier. Yeah. Like we weren't really like focusing so much on like the punk or the metal anymore.
Yeah.
Like it started getting goofy, and they like were doing all kind of different styles. They didn't really have any focus anymore.
Well, one of the early lineups, or the original lineup, or the near original lineup, because it changed even in the early days. They said that they had no understanding of metal.
Yeah, they started essentially as a punk band.
Yeah, they were mostly just making fun of metal.
Yeah.
But eventually they did, I guess, get a taste for metal and started to learn how to write metal the way it's... Because they didn't even understand how metal was written.
Yeah.
So it sounded more like punk rock.
Yeah.
You know.
And then they ended
up... They knew that, but they didn't know anything about metal.
Yeah, and they ended up like bringing in other members later on that were actually like really good like metal players. Yeah, right. Like once they decided, hey, maybe we'll get serious and like do... Because I think like the first couple albums they did, they said they kind of like sounded like shit, and they were just kind of like bullshitty. Because I think their main thing... Like I said, some of them were musicians, but mostly they were artists, and so they were into, they wanted to do comic books and make movies and, you know, shit like that. So the music was kind of like secondhand. So I feel like later on, I think me and my brother had a couple of their albums, like later on. I think we had Scum Dogs of the Universe. I think we had that one that was called Hell O. And, I know there was a couple other ones we had. I mean, they're not really, it's kind of like, they're kind of like falling to the same thing as like the Jenna Torturers, where, you know, you have their albums and stuff, but it's not usually something that you would, like, listen to. I mean, they're much better when you go see them live rather than just, like, listening to your shit. Because most of their appeal is in the live show, like, all the crazy shit that they do.
Yeah, although 120 Days of Sodom is a good album.
It is, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm just saying that I think a lot of their appeal is mostly from their performance or, like, their live show rather than just their music, like, divorced from that.
Yeah.
But,
into Jen a couple years back. She was still cute.
Yeah, we saw her at, what show was that? Comba Christ? No.
Well,
it might have been Comba Christ. Yeah. But, because I remember going to that show.
Brian was playing that night. Wasn't Brian Manowitz?
Oh, that's right.
He was playing that night.
Yeah, what the fuck show was that?
And, I don't remember.
He was in one of the opening bands.
Yeah, he's also in the Vegan Black Metal Chef.
He's a friend of ours. He's in a band.
Yeah, he's a friend
of ours. That's right.
He did his cookbook.
I forgot about that. Yeah. So, yeah, he was in one of the opening bands. I still can't remember what show that was. I remember it was at what the fuck is the name of that place, like, in downtown? I don't think it's called that anymore, but...
It was called Firestone.
Firestone. So yeah, it was at Firestone.
At that time, it was called Firestone.
And we haven't seen... And I've only seen a few shows at Firestone, and I remember Comba Christ being one of them. We saw Gary Numan at Firestone.
Yeah.
But I don't remember... I know it wasn't the Gary Numan show. Yeah. So maybe it was Comba Christ, or maybe it was like another one. Or cause
Firestone was a great venue, but the problem with it was that the owner of the fucking...
When Skinny Puppy was it?
Might have been. No.
No, we saw Skinny Puppy somewhere.
No, wasn't it...
We saw Skinny Puppy somewhere else.
It wasn't...
I thought it was like...
I thought it was more like Gary Numan.
No, because Brian's band wouldn't have been opening for Gary Numan.
It was around that same time.
It was, though. We went to a lot of
It wasn't Nitzareb, was it?
No.
We saw Nitzareb there, too.
No, we didn't.
Around that time. Yes, we did.
Well,
No. You were with me.
Yeah, you might have seen them. I've only seen them once, and that was back in 1990.
I saw Nitzareb there with Mini-Me.
Yeah, I don't think I was at that show.
Right.
Yeah, because I've only seen them one time, and that was in 1990.
Yeah.
It was them in Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
But, if you have Shudder, definitely watch the GWAR documentary. I mean, I feel like you'll probably enjoy it better because, like I said, it is, like, a long time commitment because it's pretty long. So...
It's like a soap opera, though.
I mean, yeah. So I think you really only have to have, like, maybe a passing familiarity with GWAR to find it entertaining.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, really, really entertaining because just, like, all the people involved. And like I said, I really like stories about... just like a bunch of weirdos who kind of form this like weird ramshackle family.
Yeah.
And you can tell that they're all they love doing this.
When I saw those Repediograph posters, all in black and white, and Balzac and Magnificent and all these kind of weird names, and those had those characters, they had that girl in there, you know what I mean? I was just like,
Slime Menstra Hyman.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I didn't think it was cool.
I laughed
at it, but I was just like, yeah, that fuck that bullshit.
You know what? I don't think they mentioned this in the documentary. But one of the things, when I was reading another thing about Gwar, another thing that got them in trouble with one of the major labels who was kind of courting them was Slime Menstra Hyman. She had they went into the office to like talk about terms or whatever, and she had a codpiece on, and she had like blood capsules in there, so it would look like she had her period all over the chair. And they didn't appreciate it. I'm like, what did you expect? That's kind of their whole thing.
They're fucking crazy.
Well, like I said, I think that one of them said, like, during the course of the interviews, like, that he's like, well, we never really had the chance to sell out. You know what I mean? I mean, well, I guess they did, because Warner Brothers was like, hey, we'll put out your album if you take that Baby Dick Fuck song off of it. But they were like, no, we don't want to take that song off of it. So Warner said no.
They were very creative, but in they were idiots, too.
Kind of.
They were idiots. Especially from a business standpoint, they just didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know how to run a business. They weren't trained to run businesses.
I think it seemed like they didn't really care that much about it. It's like they
were fucking cutthroat each other, fucking bootlegging their own fucking merchandise and selling it out the back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hold on, you're selling merch? Like, yeah, I was selling merch. You know, they're making up their.
Hey, I founded the fucking shit. Yeah, I'm gonna make my own left, merch, but fucking, yeah,
and then we need to divide that money up. You know,
and he was like,
he said, nope. Left the band over.
Yeah. Oracle said R.I.P. Nichelle Nichols. Yeah, I just told Tom that before we started, because I just saw
she lived a full life, though. She's like nearly 90.
I think she was 89.
Yeah,
but yeah, I just saw that, like,
yeah, you
before
can't
we
expect
started
to live much longer than that.
Danny Rowling, hey Tom, what was the name of that film you were talking about on Friday where H.G. Wells was the main character? Yeah, Time After Time.
Time After Time. That's
that was
a great movie.
David Warner.
Yeah,
I love
yeah,
that
yeah
movie.
You'll like it.
I love that
you'll
movie.
Like it.
It's so good. Yeah, Malcolm McDowell is in it, too.
Yeah, it has a good
He plays H.G. Wells.
Has a good kind of fantasy adventure, fish out of water fucking feel to it. McDowell shows up in the 20th century.
In 1979.
In 1979 in San Francisco, and he's like, he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. he tries to adapt to it, though, and he's trying to chase Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Who came there before him in the damn time machine.
In his time machine that he invented, so he
and
felt
time
responsible.
Machine went back. The time machine went back to where it was. Jack the Ripper didn't want H.G. Wells to know that the time machine was stolen, so he used it to go to the future and then sent it back, so it was still there.
Yeah.
Or did it come back on its own? It had a reset.
It had a key.
That's right. It had a key.
And H.G. Wells was the only one that had a key.
You're right.
So if you went somewhere in the time machine without the key,
it would come back.
Then the time machine would come back.
That's how it was.
Like
after
a time, like without you.
Right. Yeah.
So you'd kind of be stuck where you were.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, they had to like.
But Jack Ripper didn't care. He was just trying to get to the future.
Well, yeah, he was like, well, yeah, I don't want to get caught because I'm Jack the Ripper.
And I think he left a date in there.
Yeah,
so
it was still on the.
So he knew
it was still in the memory.
H.G. Wells knew where Jack the Ripper went.
Where
so
he went.
Yeah, and he didn't tell anybody really about the time machine. I think they didn't think the time machine worked.
Well, at the beginning, he had like all his little scientist friends there.
Yeah.
And he was like, "You guys, bitches, I'm about to show you something that's gonna blow your mind."
Yeah.
And he showed him the time machine, but they were like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, like, it ain't gonna work.
You're high.
And it's made out of wood with shit that spins.
I don't think it. No, it wasn't.
I thought it was made out of wood.
No, it kind of looked like. If I remember, it looked kind of like the Nautilus from the fucking.
I gotta go back and look at it.
Yeah, it kind of looked like. Maybe you're thinking of like the other time machine movie that was based.
Maybe the old one.
Time After Time is not based on the time machine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's based on what if H.G. Wells, the guy who wrote the time machine,
made a real
time machine, was also friends with the doctor that was Jack the Ripper,
right,
without knowing about it.
Right.
So,
right. And when Jack the Ripper gets to the 70s, man, he fits right in. He's like, fucking, this is the world that I envisioned. You know, this is fucking my world now, you know. I'm an amateur compared to these people, you know.
Yeah.
He's looking at
they're
fucking,
savages.
Yeah, you know, he's looking at damn fucking films of World War II and shit, and he's just loving it, you know.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Yeah.
My people.
There's porn. There's lots of porn and fucking prostitution and everything. He just loves it. He goes around just killing people.
Mango says, Gwar! Yeah. We'll be seeing them next week. Anyway, Time After Time is a classic. Yeah, we were talking about Gwar.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, we should, actually. Yeah. We should, actually. But yeah, do you have anything else you would like to add about the Gwar documentary?
No.
And then after that, because like I said at the beginning, if you weren't here, we decided to make this a matinee / sidetrack show.
Oh, she knows what she's going to talk about. Man, I got fucking hammered last night at the club.
Well, if you have Shudder, watch the Gwar documentary. It's actually really, really good.
Yeah. I got hammered at the club.
I
couldn't even drive back. Jenny had to drive.
I have not seen you that hammered in a very, very long time. And the crazy thing about it is that we went to Barbarella. It's 80s night. And they don't even have hard liquor there.
No.
And we didn't take any.
I just started slamming Black Velvets, you know, fucking, it's 50-50 mixture of Guinness Stout and cider.
And cider.
And then a bunch of those fucking Bacardi mojitos in the cans. I don't know, man. It's looking crazy. And then our friends in the fucking club industry, fucking, what's his name? Guy who just built that new bar.
Scotty.
Scotty shows up with his little trans girlfriend. She's fucking with me. And then all kinds of weird shit happened. And then I fucking leave and fucking back into a car. And Jenny's like, let me drive. And then we get home. And fucking, we bought some food at Circle K. So I made that before I fucking went to sleep. And I wake up, and Jenny's going, oh. It's the fucking weirdest thing, man. I've never had this happen.
This is hilarious.
This is the fucking weirdest thing happen. I was dreaming that I was taking a leak in the bathroom, okay? And I was trying to say, man, I got to take, come on, man, go. You know what I mean? And Jenny goes, what you doing, Tom? I says, I'm taking a leak.
You said, I'm pissing.
I'm pissing. Just on the floor? And I fucking snap up like that. I'm standing at the foot of the bed. Getting ready to piss on the damn fucking...
On the bench,
right in front of the bed. I was like, whoa, what am I doing here? Fucking, I thought that I was in the bathroom. And I was dreaming. I was sleepwalking.
He sleepwalked.
So I go, oh, shit, I got to clean this shit off. And I'd have pulled it outside like that. And then I went in there and fucking went to the bathroom and then fucking went back and I said, where'd the piss go? I dreamt that I pissed. I didn't piss. I was just standing there with my pecker in the hand. Jenny looking at me at the foot of the bed. What are you doing? Pissing. But yeah, I was sleepwalking.
Like, I think it was like 3, because we didn't get home until, I think we didn't go to sleep until probably like 2:30 or 3.
Yeah.
Because we left the bar at like last call and then we got some sandwiches and stuff and ate those and then like, so we fell asleep, I think it was 4 or 4:30, and I don't remember what woke me up, but I woke up and I turned and I saw
you had that fucking Danger Will Robinson
I guess fucking, like it just kind of happened. I was like, what the fuck? Okay, yeah. I don't remember hearing anything. I just remember
waking
up. I was standing
at the foot of the bed trying to take a piss.
And I turned like that, and yeah, he was just like standing there, like at the end of the bed. And it's kind of dark, but I could see him.
Yeah.
And he was just standing there, like real. It was really creepy.
Yeah, man, it was. I was sleeping.
It was really creepy.
I was sleeping
because you were just standing there, not moving.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the bed.
How long I was there?
I don't know. I was like, ooh, that's some like Paranormal Activity shit right there. Did you see like in that movie where that girl was like standing by the bed for like 6 hours?
It was
kind of like that.
I was probably.
And then I was thinking later that I was just kind of like, oh man, it's a good thing you didn't dream that you walked around to my side of the bed and you really like pee on my head or something. But it's just kind of like, yeah. So I turned around.
I have a feeling I'm standing there for a long time.
Maybe you were, like I said, Paranormal Activity. Ew. I was like, I was so creeped out. Like, I turned around and like, I just saw, and he was just standing there not moving.
Yeah.
At the end of the bed. And it was like so creepy. Cause it's like, it's not pitch black in the room. It's dark, but there's like a little bit of like light coming from the hall and for the other stuff.
Yeah,
so I could see. And I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, pissing. And I was like, are you peeing on the floor?
And it woke me up.
And then he, like, woke up.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? I said, oh, shit. And I thought I had pissed.
Yeah.
But I dreamt that. I didn't. Fucking funny.
Well, see, and I told him, I was like, I've had a long time where... Yeah. Because I usually, I mean, especially nowadays, now that I've gotten a little bit older, but it's like nowadays, you know, I wake up at least once or twice, like in the middle of the night, because I have to pee. And then like, but what usually happens if I'm sleeping, and I think this happens to a lot of people, but if I'm sleeping and I have to go to the bathroom, like my brain will try to wake me up by making my dream go like, hey, I'm looking for a bathroom in my dream. And what usually happens is even if I find a bathroom in my dream, there's always some reason that I can't use it. Like it's super disgusting. Like, like the one in, like the one in that fucking movie, Trainspotting, like the one in Trainspotting, or there's somebody in there. Like there's like a stalker in there, or there's like people like watching me or something and I can't use it. So that's my brain's way of like waking me up. I'm always like paranoid that I'm going to dream that I find a clean bathroom and start peeing. Then I'm going to wake up and I've like peed in the bed. But I've, so far I've never had that happen. But yeah, I have, as far as I know, and you've never done this either. You've never like actually sleepwalked to where you thought that you were. I mean, but you, like I said, you were very, very hammered last night. I mean, really hammered.
Yeah, I was sleepwalking. And I couldn't go to the bathroom anyway. I was rocked up. Because that's what happens if you need to go to the bathroom. If you're a guy and you're in bed, you're asleep and you gotta take a leak. Fucking, there's like a safety mechanism. You'll just rock up. You can't piss.
It's a safety mechanism.
That's the way that's how you hold your bladder. So I was just standing there like that. But I think I was standing there for a long time, just sleeping.
Like I said, how creepy.
Because I was sleeping.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm pretty sure I didn't hear anything that woke me up. I think I just like had my spidey senses.
Yeah,
we're just kind of like, ooh, there's some creepy shit going on right now. Yeah. And you were just like standing, like you weren't looking at anything. You were just kind of like standing like that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell if your eyes were open or closed. I didn't know what you were doing.
I was standing there.
It was so weird.
Asleep, dreaming that I was going to bed.
But that's, yeah, that's the first time I've ever, that is very weird.
Yeah.
But I don't,
And when she woke me up, I was very disoriented. I was like, whoa, what am I doing here?
I was like, that's what I was just wondering.
And like, and I was, I had a bunch of different overlaying fucking realities that I was in the bathroom, but I was also in the bedroom and that I was taking a leak and where is it? Where'd it go?
Yeah, because I was sitting there going, not just pee on the fucking rug.
I was like, where'd it go?
I was like, am I going to have to hit you with a rolled up newspaper?
Because a bunch of shit conflicted. I didn't take a piss. I just was dreaming that I was.
That's good. But yeah, it was like the middle of the night. He's like dragging the bench out of the hallway.
Like, I was convinced it was, that I pissed on it. I didn't.
But yeah.
I took it out there and was feeling for it. How wet is it? And it's just, I can't find it.
And I was like,
And then I went over there to try to find it on the floor. It wasn't there. You know? And then I went and took a leak. Which I should have known that I didn't piss because I still had to piss.
Because you still had to
piss. But I was so disoriented, I couldn't tell what the fuck was happening.
Yeah, like I haven't seen you that drunk in a long time.
Yeah.
Because,
I wasn't that drunk, though.
Well, not at that point.
I had sobered up. I was asleep.
But I was just talking about... But you'd only been asleep for, like, an hour or two at that point.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, okay. Because, like I said, that was only... All right. We didn't even go to sleep, I don't think, until 2:30 or 3.
Okay.
And that was only, like, at 4. Oh, all right. 4:30, something like that.
Man, that's amazing that you woke up.
Yeah, and maybe I heard something, but I don't think I heard anything.
Maybe I was talking.
Maybe. Mm. But I don't remember hearing anything. And I was not drunk because... Yeah. We went to the club. We got there as soon as they opened, which was 9:30. I had one of those because, like I said, Barbarella doesn't have hard liquor.
Yeah.
And we didn't take any, and we didn't pregame.
Yeah.
So I had one of those Bacardi Mojito things in a can, which is what, like 5% alcohol. And then so I drank that, and then like about an hour and a half later, I had like a White Claw thing, like a watermelon thing. And then after that, so I didn't drink at all after 10:30. Like, the rest of the night, I just drank water, and then, so I was, like, completely sober, like, by the time we left. And like I said, we stayed till last call, which, like I said, was a good thing, because you were in no shape to drive whatsoever. You know what I mean? You were absolutely in no shape. I mean, you were having a good time, like, you were having fun and everything, but you kept, like, yelling the same thing at me, like, oh, this happened, blah, 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 and I was like, dude, you've told me that like 15 times already.
Yeah.
And you're just like yelling at my face and like laughing. I'm like, cool, you already told me that. You told me that like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was fun though. Like it was a good crowd last night. Yeah. There was a lot of good music and I danced my butt off.
I did not realize I was that trashed.
You were super trash.
Because I didn't expect to get that wasted off those fucking canned drinks.
That's what I'm saying. There's not even hard liquor there.
No.
I don't know how
many. I didn't drink that many of them.
I don't know how many you drank. I wasn't watching. Like I said, I know for a fact that I drank two, but then, and then I just kept drinking water. And that, and I, so I stopped drinking. I drank about five or six
of them, but I drank them kind of fast. Remember, I was fucking chugging them.
That's right, you were chugging them because you're like, oh well, they didn't have, they'd only have everything in cans, right? Yeah, and he's like, oh, I wanted, he wanted to like do the black velvet thing or whatever the hell it's called, and he's like, oh, I don't have a glass to mix them in.
So I'm gonna chug this.
So he chugged one can, so he had an empty can to like mix them together.
Yeah, no, I said I'm gonna go buy a mojito, and then I'll drink that, and then I'll open these two cans, and I'll put them in that empty mojito can. So I fucking slammed that mojito, and that was like the third one. And then I got a couple more.
Yeah, you were, because we stayed till almost closing.
Yeah.
And by that point, like I said, I had stopped drinking at probably like 10:30, and I just drank water after that. And I was dancing too, and like sweating a lot. So it's like I was completely sober by the time we left.
There it says White Claw's 5%.
Yeah, it wasn't a White Claw, but it was kind of like that. I don't remember what brand it was because it's kind of dark.
Yeah, the Bacardi mojitos, I can drink them because they do. It does kind of taste like a mojito, and a mojito isn't strong anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
those are pretty good. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know
how much alcohol is in it. I don't even know.
It's Bacardi, probably 5%. Those are mostly 5%.
Yeah, Bacardi is the brand, but I don't think there is any rum in it. It's probably that. It's probably a rum flavored,
like a malt liquor.
Malt liquor is probably what it is.
I think that's probably what it is. Yeah, I'm not really sure how they make those. Like I said, because that's all they have is those canned ones. But some of them are decent. Like, I had one. I think it was Seagram's that was like a gin and tonic. And that was pretty good. It's very, very tart and like kind of sour, but gin and tonics are too. But I can only drink like one of those before I'm like, ugh, I gotta get something else.
All right, look, I'm cooking down there.
Okay. Look, I'm cooking.
Yeah, I gotta go down there and check on it.
Glenn Little, when talking about your pee situation, in my family, that would be an initiation. You're one of us. It's okay, mate. Here's the mop. Yeah, I don't think. I can't really remember. I don't know. But yeah, that's just
I've never done that before.
No, I don't remember you ever doing that before.
Never done anything like that. I never sleepwalk. That's the first time I've ever sleepwalked.
Yeah, I think that's what was so fucking creepy about it. It's like I looked up and I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck?
I was fucking sleepwalking.
What the fuck was he doing? What the fuck is he doing? He's just like standing there at the end of the bed, like the fucking chick in Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so creepy. And then I for real thought you were like peeing on the floor, and I was like, really? Because I was already kind of mad because. Yeah. I don't like to drive.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really appreciate having to drive home from the club because you were just like way too wasted to drive. But after you got in the car and like backed into another, because it didn't hurt our car or their car, but because he just kind of like backed, and I was just like, get out. So I was like, get out.
Damn.
And I said, I'll drive because I was completely sober. But see, the thing about it though is that I had to take, because I had my boots on.
That's why you woke up, because you were sober.
Yeah.
You sensed it.
I probably did.
Yeah, you know, if you were as drunk as me, you'd have just slept through it.
I probably would have just been like, yeah, fuck it. Danny Rowling said, what's tomorrow's A Haunting episode? The Lake Club episodes, hopefully. Oh, that's not. Oh, that's. We got to write that one down, too. Give me that piece of paper. Lake Club horror.
That's the one where the country thing, western bar, right?
No. We did. That's Bobby Mackey's. Yeah, we already did that one. Lake Club is a different one.
All right. We'll look.
Let me write that down because we had three other suggestions. So I'm not really sure which one we're going to do yet. We're going to, like, decide. I mean, we'll probably do all four of the suggestions that we got, like, over the next 4 weeks, I'd imagine. But I just don't really know which one we're going to do first. So it'll be whatever.
We'll go through it, yeah.
We'll kind of go through and see which ones we like.
Yeah. All right, Jenny, shut this shit down. I got to get down there and get on the fucking...
All right, but yeah, so tomorrow, be here tomorrow, we're going to do a haunting episode. Like I said, it'll be one of the four that got recommended, but I'm not really sure which one it's going to be yet. The show on Wednesday is going to be about the Terracotta Army.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a good show.
I like that. Yeah. So be sure to tune in for that one, too.
Now, that Terracotta Army, we're also going to cover that weird underground map in the tomb, right? We're going to talk about the tomb?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that shit's weird also.
Okay. So thanks for dropping by, everybody, and have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow to talk about A Haunting. Bye.